Hello, folks. It is Sunday, September 26, 2010. You know what that means. It's Movie Moan time here at TMT.com. I'm Jamie. Joining me, as always, is the British Gentleman Agent, Mr. Phil G. Say hello, sir.
Thank you very much, Jamie. Although I think we are going to rename it TV Moan. We've been having a very interesting conversation off air about the fact that we have no movie news to talk about anymore. It's all TV related, and tonight is going to be no exception. Except for one thing, I do have one movie related thing that I do need to bring up, and I need to get it off my chest now. It's a message to Marvel Studios and to director Joe Johnston. Could you please get those damn Nazis out of Manchester? Because you're ruining the tourist industry there. I can't go to my local IMAX theatre at the moment for fear of walking into the 40s onto that set, having a car explode next to me. It's really, really annoying. Get out of the North.
Because God forbid he take pictures and video and post them on TMT. You know, folks.
Honestly. joining us this week, we are proud and humbled once again to be joined by Bride Exploiter, Lady Gaga watching, Aragorn with boobs. No, that was damn boobs. I apologize. Queen Christina.
Hi, everybody.
Also joining us is Aragorn without boobs, I guess. Captain Ed Hocken, star of the Ed Hocken Show on BraindeadRadio.com.
I clearly look nothing like the guy. Just want to proudly announce that we've finally recorded our latest episode. We're definitely going to be on track to edit this week and should be up also sometime this week. So get ready to look for that. And once again, always, you know, thanks for the mention and hope you keep listening. And to pass the torch along is also the man from Canada where it's probably a lot cooler than where I am right now, Lou.
Yes, it's how hot is it where you are, Ed?
It's unfortunately heat spiking as we speak, so...
Wow, it's like 60 degrees here, Fahrenheit, so...
It's 30 degrees higher over here.
Wow. Lovely. Hey, hi, everybody. How you doing?
Hi, Lou.
Hey, man. What's up?
Hi. Hi. Just a quick, two quick little announcements.
I've been so...
That was Katie Holmes in the background saying hey.
Yeah. I fully admit that I am not relevant. And what? Also... And also, I have just been exposed to the joys of Netflix. It finally started up in Canada this week.
Yes!
And it is totally awesome. There's a lot
it
of
is,
bad
isn't
stuff.
It really
there's
is.
A lot of bad stuff out there. I would never go to the video store and rent, but now.
No one can judge me.
I cried when I first heard about that. I teared weeps, you know. Go ahead.
Yeah.
The only bad I had heard, to be honest, that in Canada, your internet usage is capped by the amount of bandwidth you take, so there's no unlimited.
Yes,
I heard about this. That is terrible. As terrible as I'd heard as Tim Horton's coffee is. So,
you want to start a war? That's
well, this is what I had heard from some anonymous tipsters I had gotten.
Okay. Yeah.
That coffee was terrible.
Breaking news. Tim Horton.
Like Fox News, I was going to say. Yeah.
And Warner Bernstein.
Coffee cups slammed across coast to coast in Canada right now, I'll tell you that. Oh.
Anyhow,
it's really cool, but there's a lot of trashy stuff on Netflix. But,
oh, yes.
There's some, you know, there's with many things in life, if you do a little sifting, there's nuggets of gold. And I just finished watching Harlan Ellison documentary, Dreams with Sharp Teeth. And it was really awesome. I've been looking forward. I've been trying to find it for a long time, and I finally it was on Netflix. I thought, holy cow! So I sat down and watched it. And Harlan Ellison is one of a kind. He's a hell of a writer, and he did things his own way.
Hell of a personality.
Yep.
That he was.
Oh, I agree.
Love that man. I'm glad he's still around and ticking. Wasn't Robin Williams involved with that documentary?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Yeah, he's in it a little bit. There's a couple of other writers, but it's mostly Harlan Ellison. And the guy admits that he's a big a big personality, but he's totally non-apologetic about it as well. But he has no...
Not to cut you off, Lou. I unfortunately had heard that he said he was dying at one point.
I just
heard.
Might be true. I don't know.
He is up there. So
yeah, this was done at 70. He was 72, and I think his thing's about what? I don't know if it says the year here.
I think around 2009 or 2008, I think.
Yeah, he's 73 or 74. I know he has some medical conditions, but, I mean, at that age, who doesn't, right?
Right.
I'm 20 years younger, and I got medical problems.
I think we all have medical problems in one way or the other.
Yeah.
Well, heck, you somehow, do this show.
Except for Betty White, of course, apparently.
Well, and that Leonard Nimoy is near an 80, and he's doing great.
Well, he's got that Vulcan blood, though. So that's the difference.
Oh, okay.
Him and Shatner are the same age, so there you go.
Get out.
Yeah, yeah, they're like a day apart, like, or something. Apart, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I must say, I mean, both of them, particularly Shatner, I actually think he's aged very gracefully. I know people will
Shatner has a very good toupee.
So. It's gotten better if he's gotten older.
His toupee or his acting, Lou?
His toupee. I don't know. His acting is the same.
Oh, well.
And the we thing, we've never actually seen him without that rug. So
that's right.
I would hate to see that man bald. That would be a hell of a sight.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be kind of like seeing, like, you know, the inside of Darth Vader at the end of Jedi. Like, holy shit, he's got no hair.
And then you'd be sorely disappointed because it's nothing like you imagined.
That's true, actually. Just like the inside of Darth Vader's helmet. You think it's James Earl Jones. Like, what? He's white? Fuck this movie. None of these other bastards here decided to see a movie this week, so I'm going to have to be the one to talk about a flick I saw. I guess I'm the fool, actually, amongst the group, because I actually did pay money to see Wall Street Money Never Sleeps.
Now, are you going to go into spoilers on this? I seriously don't think anyone's going to have issues.
No, I don't know, Ed. I know you're so sensitive about spoilers. Like, don't ruin it for me. I want to know what happens to Shia LaBeouf.
Let me guess. Someone loses a lot of money.
God damn it, dude. How did you find out? Shocking. And Gordon Gekko is a bastard. That's another big shocker there. No, I mean, it was... I think the original Wall Street's a good movie. I don't really think it's one of Stone's best films, but it was certainly made at a point where he was arguably the best writer-director working at that time. And time hasn't been really kind to him. He's gotten older, and he's kind of lost his voice and just gone more and more crazy. I'm sorry?
I just said, no, I agree. He's gotten crazier. And I always had felt that Stone was never known for subtlety in his direction.
No.
And... It's just gotten more and more ham-fisted as time has gone on.
Absolutely.
I think probably his last good movie, in my view, was Nixon, and that's a strange movie. Some people say Any Given Sunday. I thought the dialogue was terrible in Any Given Sunday, so I never liked that movie.
He started to really lose his mind, in my eyes, with Natural Born Killers, which people either loved it or hated it. I think the movie's terrible. I don't know what you guys thought of it.
I never saw it, so.
Okay.
I loved it myself, but, you know, that's subjective. It's all subjective. I love that one, actually.
Fair enough.
Here's the question, Jamie. Let me ask you. Let me break it down this way.
Okay.
I don't think there's any doubt that it's a bad film. The question is, how bad is Wall Street 2? And does it, in your mind, taint the original? Is it that bad?
I don't think it taints the original. You first think, like... Okay, they're going to do a sequel to Wall Street. Well, why? Like, you kind of shake your head. And at the beginning of the movie, I will say I did like it. I kind of got into it a little bit. And all the acting is fine, save for Susan Sarandon, who it's not so much her. It's the part that was written for her that was really bad. She plays Shia LaBeouf's mother. Everyone's fine, but I don't know, man. It's just I don't know, man. It just – Stone – I said this off air.
You
it's like
sound
Oliver
drained.
Stone, Oliver Stone is really trying to show, like – hey, I can still be. I'm still hip. I'm still with it. Tucker, 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 tucker. You know, it is like that at times because he cut. There's so much like shit thrown at the screen, like showing you how Wall Street works and, you know, the stock market and all that stuff. And he's trying to show like I've still got it. No, you don't. It's over, man.
Can I ask with Gecko's character?
Yes.
Is he made portrayed to be that he's just really much more part of the crowd today than as opposed to being more of a rebel character back in the original movie? Or,
well, he's on the outs at the beginning because he gets out of prison,
right?
Not because of what Charlie Sheen did, because we have to make this all connect. It's because of Josh Brolin, spoiler. But
I have to ask, I just realized something else.
Yeah.
Did they ever address, because Michael Douglas just got released from jail, how is he – they don't make any mention of the fact he's probably not allowed to make any trades or anything like that?
Oh, they don't make any reference to that whatsoever.
I'm a little surprised by that. Because you'd think they would ban him permanently.
I don't think they did, unless I'm wrong. The problem is that he doesn't have any money. Like, he's got money saved up, but he doesn't have enough money to actually get back into the market, maybe start a company. And, you know, he mentors Shia LaBeouf's character. Actually, the best performance in the movie is Frank Langella. That's not a surprise whatsoever, frankly. He's actually great in the movie, what little we get. But he's a plot device. Like, he dies, and then that's the reason why Shia LaBeouf, he wants revenge against Josh Brolin, who really, for all intents and purposes, caused Langella's death. He also happens to be engaged to Gecko's daughter, played by Carey Mulligan. Again, they're all fine in the movie, but I don't know. There was clearly a story here, but it was not really well executed. Like, the movie, it feels a lot longer than it was. And also, there's a tacked-on happy ending that I could not believe Oliver Stone. I didn't know Oliver Stone had it in him to do a happy ending. Because Gordon Gekko, again, I'll just go ahead and spoil it. There's a big plot device where, you know, his daughter has a $100 million trust fund saved. Gekko steals the money from her, all right? She and LaBeouf break up because he's been meeting with Gordon Gekko behind her back, and she does not approve. All this stuff happens, and at the very end, you know, she decides to forgive him. He comes up to them at the house, and they're talking, and, oh, you kids make a great couple. You should get back together. And, oh, what do you know, they get back together. And the movie ends with a year later with their son's birthday party. He turns one, and everyone's happy and smiling, and, oh, there's good old Grandpa Gekko Gordon. Gordon Gekko, I'm sorry. I don't know who – I don't know. It feels like a body snatcher took over Oliver Stone.
Does he still have the money?
Oh, yeah, he still has the money. When he steals the money, he goes to London to start this company. So he's back.
Okay.
So he basically is where he is at. At the end of this movie, he is where he is at the beginning of the first Wall Street. Although, right. I will say, worst scene in this movie, no shockers here, is the tacked-on Charlie Sheen cameo. My God, how bad is
this? How does that work out?
They're at a banquet, a celebrity, because he wants to have a little quote-unquote accidental running with his daughter. And there, oh my God, there's Charlie Sheen. Hey, Gordon, what you doing? Hey, bud, what's up with you?
Oh, are you fucking kidding me? After everything he put him through in the last movie, saying, nope. Oh, hey, how are you?
Nope, not joking. He goes, what do you do? Well, how's life been to you? Well, I served a little time, obviously, but I got out and decided to take on the airline company. What was it called? Blue Steel or something like that?
Blue Star, yeah.
Blue Star, thank you. So he decides to take over the company, you know, gets really successful, and then sells it. And he says, well, nowadays I just, you know, I spend my winters in Switzerland and my summers in Florida just living up the good life. And
I built a go-kart. It's powered by my own sense of self-esteem.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's shocking. You're like, the whole point of the Charlie Sheen character in the first one was to show, like, you know, money's not everything. And yet we see him in this cameo, and he basically turns into a yuppie asshole. Like, you think, I guess the idea was he learned his lesson at the end of the first one. Nope, apparently he didn't.
Yeah, you think going to jail would do that.
Nope. Doesn't do it at all.
And the original had a very good ending, just with that long tracking shot. That was really good.
Yeah, and also it's the fact that it's not Bud Fox that gets Gordon Gekko in prison, it's Josh Brolin. Just to make the whole plot come together. Ugh, oy vey. I'd say check it out, rental, if it's on cable or something, but there's just no...
I'm really angry.
It can't be worse than W, though. Can't be.
I haven't seen W. I didn't watch.
Well, you don't even want to bother.
It just looked terrible. It's like, wow, a W movie would be relevant. Like, I don't know, years down the line, we have a little bit of time to assess the man instead of like getting out immediately just to say, like, see, I got it out.
Well, the worst thing about W, and I've said this before, is out of nowhere, one of the worst acting jobs I've ever seen, which is done by Thandi Newton when she plays Condi Rice, and it is.
God, yeah.
She comes off like a muppet in the movie.
Really?
Yes.
What about Richard Dreyfuss as Cheney?
Yeah, that too. But I mean, he's basically playing himself. But it's one of the great. You know, is this supposed to be intentional? Was no one paying attention? Is this anti-humor being employed here? I don't understand what's. It was just horrible.
What I find funny about this whole thing, and I'm sure you guys have heard the news by now. Originally. This Christian Bale was cast as W. You guys heard that, right?
No, I didn't know that.
No, he was originally cast as W. This came out like right before the film's release, and they said the official version was that, well, they did makeup tests and he just didn't look the part, so he backed out.
Which is funny they say that, because when Anthony Hopkins did Nixon, he doesn't look anything like
Exactly.
Him.
Exactly. that's obviously not the real reason. I mean, you damn well know here's what really happened with Christian Bale. I'm pretending to be Christian Bale's agent. Phil, you pretend to be Christian Bale. Ring, ring, ring. Ring, ring, ring.
Sorry.
Phil? Hey, Christian, what's up?
I'm sorry, I can't even speak. You fucking knocked the wind out of me.
I'll move it along.
Oh, wait. Yeah, thank you. Your Majesty will do it. Now, Chris, have you read... Yeah, so, Chris, you still that that W script?
I saw it.
Forget it. I'm not even going to try to do the sketch now. Basically, the point is, his agent, I guarantee you, his people said, don't... Are you fucking stupid? You're Batman. Middle America will fucking kill you for being in this movie. Get your ass out of that movie now. What can I do? Hold on. Terminator Salvation? That's not as bad. Okay. That's what happened. I guarantee you that's what happened. Anyone wants to doubt me on that?
No. No, sir.
No, not really.
Okay, anyway, moving on.
We need to make you happy, Jamie. We need to make you light and happy and talk about something nice. Let's talk about Superman.
Okay, sure. all right, segue there from Batman to Superman. No, so they're making a Batman movie. They are making another Batman movie.
Really?
Shockingly, I hear Nolan's directing it again. Big shocker there. No.
You're kidding. No.
Fuck, well, at least that
me. I hope it's dark.
Oh. I hope there's no bat nipples. No, so Nolan is producing a Superman movie. It's coming at Christmas 2012. They're trying to find a director. They've got to get cameras rolling next year. Thank you very much. Court case, one of many with that character. So came out this week that there is a list of finalists who Nolan has met with. He's met with some of them and who was probably going to be the final director. Interesting little list of people. They include Tony Scott. You know him. Ridley's little brother, Jonathan.
Oh, we know him.
Cat by the name of Jonathan. If I am pronouncing this right, I apologize. Lesbian? I don't know. The guy. He made. I really don't know how to pronounce it. I'm not.
Not a guy's name you want to mispronounce. But let me try and help you here. Thanks. I'll find out how you say it. You say the other guys.
No, Duncan Jones, director behind The Brilliant Moon. Matt Reeves, who's got the Let the Right One In remake coming out. I believe this coming weekend. And Zack Snyder are on the list of contenders.
Liebesman. Jonathan
Liebesman. Here's the thing about – I already can see this. I definitely don't believe it's Duncan Jones. He's already working on his own thing.
He's got that movie Source Code. That's already wrapped. And I don't know if he's got anything after that. That comes out –
he's going to do a movie set in Berlin involving a mute bartender, but maybe he's not able to get the financing off. Or I think. That was it.
I
know – Ryan Johnson had a similar science fiction idea. He couldn't get off the ground. But yeah, I remember Duncan Jones wanted to do this because it was going to be fit into the universe of Moon. I remember hearing about that.
I don't know. That's true. I mean, Ridley Scott, heavens. Tony's got a bunch of movies lined up next. That Jonathan, whatever his name is, that Phil thankfully pronounced for me. Thank you, Leedsman. He is directing the Clash of the Titans sequel that comes out spring of 2012, and Superman's coming out Christmas, so probably not doable there. If I'm putting money on who will get the job of these guys, it'd be Matt Reeves. He fits the type most. He mostly fits the type of who they're going for. Someone who is skillful. He's got talent, and priority number one. He's controllable as hell. He's going to do what they tell him. I could see. I mean, I don't. Either him or Duncan Jones. Jones is the one that actually intrigues me the most. But, yeah, as you just said, Hawken, if this movie that you're talking about, which sounds, good, interesting,
right?
If it happens.
I think, though, that if they wanted to put a big name on there, then it would be someone like Zack Snyder, who has the technical ability, and he's worked with Warner Brothers before.
He's also working on something else, though. And it's funny because, he was just asked that we...
Well, that's right. He's dealing with Sucker Punch. I forgot about that.
Well, Sucker Punch, I think, is in post, but I think he said he's already working on his next movie for after Sucker Punch. And he was actually just asked by Latina Review, a week ago. They asked it about Superman, and he said he had been offered in the past and really was a big fan of the character but didn't have a take. So he kind of passed on it.
He is a visionary director.
Apparently.
I mean, he needs a take.
That's right, because the headliners for... Legend of the Owls or whatever it's called. Tell me
Gallyhool, I think it is.
That's what it's called?
Huh. I think so.
It's because the title of Hoot got taken by something else.
Nice. So what do you guys think of this list?
I'll just jump in. It is concurrent with what you said earlier, Jamie, and not only on this show, but on your guest spot on Movie Holes, that they're going to want someone controllable. Definitely, mid-level director, most likely a hired gun. They're not really – it'll be a real surprise if they go with a name, and most likely all the name directors are doing their own thing, so they're going to get someone mid-level, but possibly someone who has at least the technical ability to do something like this. That, I think, is going to be the question, if someone can manage this on a technical level. That's what I'm be curious about.
Well, I mean, if it's Reeves, he certainly did Cloverfield, which I didn't like, but it certainly, it looked good. And then Let Me In is getting really good reviews. I mean, almost begrudgingly good reviews, as in, I hated the idea of remaking this, but you know what? It's a good movie, so I have to eat my words and accept that this movie works. That kind of begrudging.
But I can see why you could also say Duncan Jones, just because if you look at what happened with Chris Nolan,
exactly.
He basically had done a movie, very, small technical movie, and Nolan did Insomnia next, so it's possible they could, but for Duncan Jones to go from Moon, we haven't seen Source Code yet, to Superman is a huge leap. So I don't know if they would go that far, if they trust him with that. That's the thing I'd be wondering about.
This is exactly what I said off air to Jamie about that, actually. Christina, when this news hit, Christina immediately, I think it was immediately anyway, she'll have to tell you, emailed me in a panic about this, didn't you, Christina? You're very worried.
It's not that I was worried, it's just that I'm extremely against Tony Scott or Zack Snyder directing this film. I really don't want them to do it. Because Superman is such an over-the-top character that I really think that having a director with an over-the-top style like Zack Snyder with his ridiculous amount of slow motion, or Tony Scott with his hand-crank camera, look-at-me style, is going to turn this movie into a camp fest. They need somebody who's sort of like a Christopher Nolan, who's just going to take a straightforward approach to it, because the character can take care of itself. We really don't need a big name director to do this. So I really don't want Tony Scott, and I really don't want Zack Snyder. They can just go somewhere.
To hell! No. So Lou, Phil, you guys haven't really given your thoughts. What do you guys, what's your take?
Well, my opinion will be the correct opinion, so I'll go last. Lou,
I hope it's mine.
Okay, that's good. Then I can be totally outrageous. I'm going to play devil advocate to what you just said, Christina. I think based on the perceived bad box office returns of Superman Returns, I think they actually want to attach a director to this that has a bit of public profile behind him. And I think that Zack Snyder would be the type of director that they know that if they put his name against it, he can handle the technical aspects of the movie, plus the geek boys out there will be quite happy to have Zack Snyder attached to a project like this. So I'm going with Zack Snyder.
Oh, he's quoted. He thinks it's going to be Snyder. So, well, I mean,
that's what I would say.
And the only thing I would argue against that is that they have a name, though. It's Nolan. Nolan is the name on this movie, and to a very, very lesser degree, David Goyer. No offense, sir. Those are the names. So you don't really need a big director. That's why you go to these guys like Reeve and Duncan Jones and et cetera, because up to this point, I think once they get the director, Nolan, as I've said before, Nolan's going to say, all right, well, I got Batman. That comes out a couple months for you guys, so, good luck. I got to go. And he's out of there, and he's fulfilled his responsibilities. Probably his wife, Emma Thompson, who produced all of his movies with him, she would probably be the one who actually is actively involved with Superman, if I had to guess. Mm-hmm. So
the thing with touting Zack Snyder is people would probably perceive that this is going to be an action-packed movie, especially after Superman Returns, which was basically Superman lifts consecutively heavier things each time. So
and wants to fuck Lois Lane,
yeah.
And did, apparently, That's
a deadbeat father.
It's a deadbeat father. It's also called Super Marsden. That's what we also call it.
What do you call it? not a peeping Tom. Well, maybe a peeping Tom.
Yeah, I make these jokes. I actually loved Singer's movie. Like, I really did. I did love it. But it's like, you know, they're good jokes. So why not? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't it amazing? It's 4 years on since that movie. We're still making those fucking jokes about heavy things and child support. It never gets
old. And real estate scams.
Exactly. It's the magic of that.
Which I guess would be evil now with the economy. It's like maybe Singer was ahead of his time. Like, that bastard! No, if only
you know what Lex Luthor should have done? He should have stolen that old woman's money and then given it back to his daughter so she can marry the guy that he really should be with. That's what should have happened in that movie.
There you go. They all laugh at the end and smile.
Exactly. well, I think three things. Number one, I do think Tony Scott is the absolute worst choice for this. I don't passionately hate any of his movies. I don't passionately love any of them either. I just think his style... especially just based on, you know, the remake of Penham 1, 2, 3, which I saw. Just, no. The way he shoots...
Even Christina said, his track record as of late is not suited for this kind of work. You know, and unless Derailed somehow takes off. I don't know about
that. Oh, you mean Unstoppable, yeah.
Unstoppable. I keep calling it Derailed for some reason.
It should be, actually. You think it would be, but it's not.
It's called... The Runaway Train remake, I'd call it, but without convicts. But, his track record has been really bad. It's not within his wheelhouse, as it were, to do these types of, to do a big, splashy movie like this. I doubt, you know, he'd be the man, you know, any way, shape, or how he'd be any, you know, doing this sort of thing. Maybe if this was the 90s, maybe, but I wouldn't expect this now.
I don't think he's going to get it, which brings me on to point number two, which is that I think we're all being strung along right now. This reminds me, I think this whole race to find a Superman director, it's going to be exactly like those friggin' casting races for Spider-Man and for Green Lantern. We're going to hear all these names.
Wow.
All these names, and... we're going to place our bets for it. Money's going to be down on the table. It's going to be right up to the last minute. And then they're going to turn around and pick someone who wasn't even on the list.
It's like what they did with the most recent Doctor of Doctor Who. Same thing.
Oh, really? That guy was unexpected?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. No one knew who
wrong guy to ask, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's true. No one knew who he is. The one name... and what the hell, I'm a gambler, I'll put my money down for this. The one name I was really surprised not to see on the list and who have done solid work for Warner Brothers and who I think could really, really pull this off are the Hughes brothers. I was thinking about this.
There's
this
no
weekend.
Way that'll happen.
They were doing. They were supposed to do that Akira movie, if I remember correctly. Like, that'll happen.
They're solid directors, solid enough. They've done solid work. Then, you know, they'll do what they're told, I think. They've got a very good eye. They don't have a particular bad directing action style like Tony Scott
has. But they haven't done anything. There was an 8-year gap between From Hell and The Book of Eli. They were basically in director jail. So I don't think it would be them at all. So...
Well, I guess Ed's the bookie in this case, and he's not accepting my bet, so I'll just go home.
There you go.
I'll take money somewhere else.
Well, speaking of brothers, segue here, Phil. You wanted to talk about this, didn't you, Phil?
Well, come on, we all want to talk about these crazy dudes. I don't even know what they are anymore, but the Wachowskis have...
siblings.
Siblings,
well
yes.
Well played, you.
have announced their next project. If you'll allow me the vanity, I would absolutely love to read the synopsis to you all over the air. Would you like that?
Sure. Yes, courtesy of Vulture.
Go ahead.
So, the storyline, as we've been told, for Cobalt Neutral 9... which I love that title. It rolls off my tongue. Works for me. You know, Southern hicks like Jamie, they ain't going to be able to handle it. But
what's that about? Like Cobalt like that Chevrolet I drive. Is that Cajun?
I live in the country that got I Love You, Philip Morris. We can handle it. You know, we can handle
these supposedly we're getting it in December. I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, we'll just see about that.
Yeah, that's a perfect Christmas movie. So, the story of Cobalt Neutral 9 is... the main story is told in Cloverfield-esque flashbacks by digital archaeologists sorting through found footage from CNN and chips from old digital cameras from the US occupation of Iraq. The heroes are indeed a gay American soldier named Butch and an Iraqi soldier turned militant. Butch is endearing, young, and a ravishingly handsome Marine. Our spies tell us that he wants to just, quote, fuck and kill everything in Iraq, end quote, until, that is, he falls in love with the Iraqi.
Aww.
The two meet, I know, the two meet while Butch is out on a combat patrol in Iraq during the Second Gulf War. And soon enough, the two are engaged in graphically described sex. Actual line from the script, quote, they rut like animals behind this fence, unquote.
Aww.
And what's the Iraq's name? Sundance Kid?
It's not actually, I don't think they've picked a name for him yet.
Oh,
it'll
okay.
be some little pet name, you know. Speed Raper. That's a good name.
Speed Raper.
They've got to be, if this one actually ever gets off the ground, they've got to be, no one is going to finance this. For the,
wait a minute, dude, I ain't done yet. Let's finish the story here. So, as they get engaged in graphically described sex, albeit while disguised in burgers. So that's
a lot of sheets rubbing up against each other. Then
that's how they avoid the NC-17.
The pile of laundry getting at it.
Smoke signals.
I was just going to clarify that B-U-R-G-A-S, not burgers. The you know like
they'll have a cross promotion ad with like some kind of detergent. You know.
Oh my god.
Trying to get some of that Iraqi stain out of your, you know. Is this the actual movie, or is this the setup for the starting point of the movie?
It'll be kind of like Speed Racer, you know, how it started with a big race, but it ain't a cut between things. That's going to be, you know, lots of fucking and the dry humping, and then the line cuts
floating
with
heads
the, with
going
the
by. And...
Exactly, yes.
I really hope John Goodman is not in this movie.
I
hope he is, actually. Oh. I don't give a shit.
And a monkey.
Come on, let me finish this. We're nearly there. Two soldiers' relationship blossoms, and Butch begins to get to know his lover's family. I guess that's where John Goodman comes in. But after he inadvertently draws attention to their ancestral home, disaster strikes. I can't even say this with a fucking straight face. This tragedy radicalizes the pair, and they become convinced that the only way to rid the world of evil is to kill the architect of the invasion, the then President of the United States, George W. Bush. Remember him? And so, during one of the President's secret sorties to Iraq, they attempt to assassinate. That's the story of Cobalt Neutral number 9. One, please.
Whoa.
Good luck against financing.
This movie just out Southland. I've said it before, I'll continue to say it. This movie out Southland Tales. Sweet Lord.
Next week on Reading Rainbow, Southland Tales.
Oh, God.
Boy,
I couldn't
like
even make
5 minutes.
That
yeah. People like to rag on M. Night Shyamalan for falling off the turnip truck, but these two guys, holy mackerel.
Yeah.
they're actually going to be serious about it. No one's going to finance this.
That's the problem. Like, I don't even think they're with Warner Brothers anymore. I mean, they had a production deal for years. They were getting paid like $30 million for nothing, just sitting around. They had offices and everything. So I don't know. I mean, I'm intrigued, but I don't know.
If you convert it into 3D, I think we got something here. But otherwise, I ain't buying it.
3D IMAX gay sex. That'll bring the kids in.
That's going to be difficult to look at. So.
Well, the great thing about
it's like
you can't take in the whole image, so you'll only see bits of it. It depends where you're looking.
The problem
really is
there'll be a lot of like prank kids like pulling pranks, like dropping their pants in front of audience members seeing this movie. Like, look at that dick, it looks real. Oh my god, that's what'll happen.
I think this could be a real cult midnight movie, kind of like The Room. Everyone's going to bring dildos and burgers. Yeah.
Oh god.
Well, you know what? No, come on, guys. Look, honestly, We've got no reason to will this movie not to happen. Don't you want to live in a world where this happens and all the insanity that comes with it? I sure as hell do. I want to laugh my ass off for 3 weeks about this.
We already had Southland Tales. We don't need another repeat.
Well, the thing about the Bush angle would give this movie a lot of press, but again, press doesn't equal box office. Plenty of examples.
They would probably change that to Obama. But I'm actually
not. No, they won't do that.
The way this is going, I want to see a biography of the Wachowski brothers, because to go from where they started out to this, like, that is going to be one hell of a tale. It's going to make Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas look like a trip to the candy store. This is unreal.
That's the headline right there.
Terry Gilliam direct this? I'm serious.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Well, if Terry Gilliam tries to make it, it will never get made. So.
I'm kind of laughing and crying at the same time.
We
may have our new version of The Day the Clown Cried, I think.
Yeah.
Never actually got. I don't. This is unreleasable, actually.
It is. It's pretty insane.
I think if those wankers who direct those spoof movies that, you know, they're all shit, if they made one called Controversial Movie, this would be the story. Actually, they might do that now.
Probably just give an idea.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, sadly. Yeah.
Controversial Movie.
Wow.
Good job, Phil.
It'll probably never get released, but they can easily finance this movie themselves with their Matrix money.
Everything will be in front of blue screen on top of that. So.
Absolutely. That's what I was thinking. But yeah, you're right, Christina. That's what they're saying, the article.
I don't know if it's going to be all blue screen, because, Phil, you said it's going to be all found footage, and those found footage movies are really cheap to make, because it's just like a Blair Witch movie. They just get a digital camera and go out there and shoot, so it's not like it's going to cost a lot, will it?
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, this is apparently.
Well,
I
don't know if they're actually filming each other while they're having sex. I don't know if it's going that far, but I mean, who the hell knows?
It's kind of difficult, actually.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
set up a tripod. It's not that hard.
That's true. Actually. But it's in the middle of the desert, though.
Yeah, no, it gets hot.
They kind of get spotted. Maybe they do. I don't know. This movie has so many plot holes in it. I just want to see it happen. Ridiculous.
Well, I mean, they said it's only going to. They did their own estimates and stuff in terms of financing or how much it would cost, budgeted it out, and they said about $7 million to get the financing. And yeah, I mean, they've got plenty of money from the Matrix films, and they've got money from the Speed Racer also. They got paid for that, apparently. But I mean, you know, no one really, people rarely finance their own movies, so I don't think that'll ever happen. I mean, that's kind of like the number one rule when you're getting a movie made: don't put your own money into it. You know, get someone else to do it, so in case it falls under. What the hell? I mean, I'm curious to see what they have. I would like to see them direct again, and I do respect them in the sense that, you know, at one point they were being very pushed hard to do Superman, and Warner Brothers wanted them to do it. And after Speed Racer and those Matrix sequels, that would have probably been the wiser move, because to win the fan base back. But they made the decision, like, we don't need the money anymore, and we want to do stuff that interests us, no matter how watchable or unwatchable it is. So I have to tip my hat to them and say, like, okay, well, you have my admiration for just, like, your fearlessness. Because this movie...
It would seem that they are pursuing their dream.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got a fever dream.
I can hardly wait till they wake up.
their inception.
Oh, man. What would the... I don't even want to know the item that was placed in the mind safe, but...
Oh, God.
That I remember reading about this for a long time. There used to be I forgot the name of this script that the Wachowskis did, but it had this weird thing of, like, it dealt with, it was like liposuction and surgical abuse. And I forgot the name of it. Let's see if anyone had just...
It's a good title. Yeah.
I forgot the name of the title of it. It was a script that, there's always, every year there's a list of good scripts that
the
never
blacklist.
Made... The Blacklist, and this movie used to be.
I don't know. I'm not going to lie to you, buddy. I don't know if I trust The Blacklist. Like, okay, it's made from top people in the industry. They commission this. Cop Out was on The Blacklist.
Well, I mean, we
need
all
I
know
say
that
more? I mean,
going on the just the script is not enough. We know the script gets changed a lot. So just because the script is good doesn't necessarily mean the movie will be good.
I got the script for Cop Out. I read it. Before, like, about a month before it opened, I must say, man, I was like, okay, this made The Blacklist? Like, and I don't know what draft it was, but my understanding, according to the buddy who gave it to me, was you know, this was like the one that got everyone's interest, supposedly. I'm like, really? Yeah. I'm like, ew. Gone. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So.
See, talk amongst yourselves while I try to find the name of that movie.
We'll do. So, next topic. So apparently they're trying to do, we're getting to the TV news now, apparently. They're trying to develop a TV version of Goodfellas, which I haven't really heard anyone object to this news item when it broke this past week. I'm for it. Why not, man? I mean, there have been, I'm trying to think
of
examples.
The Sopranos?
I'm sorry?
Wasn't that The Sopranos?
Supposedly, yes. I was never into The Sopranos, so I really couldn't tell you. I really tried to get into that show, but all for naught. Didn't care for it. So, what do you guys think, man? Goodfellas, the show.
Well, Boardwalk Empire is on right now, so I don't know. There's a lot of spy shows on the network stations right now, so maybe gangsters will make a comeback.
There won't be that many, Luke, because Undercovers, as we both know, won't be around that much longer.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, is this like a direct sequel to the Good Brothers?
I'm assuming it's like one of those things where they take the Wise Guys book and like reformat it for television. So it's the weekly exploits of Henry Hill, presumably.
There are some good stories in that book. I just don't know. Why
is this a cable show?
They have not verified. No network is committed to it. No studio is committed to it. But apparently, presumably, it's going to be Warner Brothers since they own the film. And I would only guess this is going to be maybe not HBO, but cable. I mean, yeah, you could do it.
Yeah, I can't see this on network.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
No way.
Now, I could see this on FX, you know.
Yeah. But, yep.
Oh, yeah.
FX or HBO.
I don't know about AMC. I don't know. Maybe, but.
HBO's already doing Boardwalk Empire. Why are they going to, you know, it's kind of. And then there are people going to say, you've already done The Sopranos. Unless this is going to be a period-like show, which they may not do. I mean, Boardwalk Empire is probably already expensive as it is.
Yeah.
And
already fucking renewed it after one episode. Like, come on, guys. Isn't that a little soon?
Yeah, that's getting ridiculous, too. But, I mean, True Blood got renewed for 2 seasons before it even started the... And same with Burn Notice, so that's... It's part of the publicity machine.
Huh. Didn't know that. Well, I mean, it's working out for True Blood, quality or, you know, lack of quality notwithstanding. I mean, like, the numbers are huge, so...
Yep.
Made the wise move in that part.
Sure.
Speaking of True Blood, apparently there's been rumors going around that HBO wants to get a movie version going up in the next couple of years, probably after they've milked the cow dry for the TV version. I've seen the first 2 seasons. I did like it. It's good. It was trashy, but goddamn it, was it watchable? Did I have a good time watching it? Christina really hated the 3rd season. I don't know what she thought of the first, and as did our friend Mr. Liu here.
And to the point that I'm done with the series.
Ooh.
Really?
Yep.
Hmm. Well, you guys made farther than I ever did. I watched 5 minutes of that show, and I shut it off.
I liked it. It was trashy fun until the third last episode of the 2nd season. Was it Godric? Is the right? I hope I have his name right. I think it's Godric.
Yeah.
After he was gone. Then the last 3 episodes where they close off the Michelle Forbes storyline was just totally retarded. And this season they've just pushed characters around to ridiculous storylines. And, I'm done with that show. It's just retarded now. And, yeah, you know, like, it's kind of like the Monty Python movies where each season, like, it's kind of corresponded to, like, you know, Monty Python. You started out with Monty Python and the Holy Grail. But by the time you get to The Meaning of Life, like, the gross factor and the ridiculous factor of those movies just goes off the scale to the point where it's like, you know, like, it's not even funny anymore because they have to go to such extremes because in the previous, like, they have to outdo the previous movie. And the 3rd season of True Blood did the exact same thing that Monty Python movies have done. And I'm done with that show. It was totally ridiculous.
Hmm.
Wow.
So you're not done with it, Chris?
No, I'm not done with it, but I'll agree with him that the 3rd season was a real letdown. A lot of the storylines were terrible. The direction that some of these characters are going in is absolutely ridiculous.
And yet you're sticking to it.
I'm gonna stick with it because I still have hope for this show. There's still a lot of things about the show that I like. So I'm going to give it one more season. But if it sucks after season 4, I'm going to have to turn it off too. And I'm not
sure. It's doing like a hero's arc. Like, when everybody's got special powers, then nobody's special anymore.
Like, well, I mean, also when you make Sookie a fairy, apparently, if I remember correctly, yeah. That's what happened. She had, you know. Although, I will say, I mean, I heard what happened in season 3 of the finale, so it's not really a spoiler territory for me. But, you know, come on. They're not going to make Bill evil permanently. That's bullshit. Like, oh, he was under someone's control. That's why he did what he did. Like, come on. Who are we kidding here? That won't
last. Even if they don't, his character's been damaged so much now that it doesn't matter. And same like Sam. For 2.5 seasons, he was a good guy, and all of a sudden he takes a hard left turn, and now he's a murdering jerk. Like,
well, I told you about that, Lou. I got the feeling they were trying to replace Sam with Wolfman, I mean, as the third triangle. Like, get him out and put him in. That's what I thought was going on.
Well, they can do that, but they made Werewolf seem like wimps anyhow, so.
Sure did.
Wouldn't
it's just a terrible season. It's a trashy show, but it's gone in the dumpster as far as I'm concerned. So I don't even know how they could make a True Blood movie, trying to get back to the movie aspect of this.
Well, that's true, but then again, I would have said the same
like,
thing.
Are
about,
they going to start from the beginning again, or what?
I would have said the same thing about Sex and the City. Like, how are you going to make a movie? And they made two of them, and one of them was successful.
Terrible. Both of those movies suck.
Yeah, it is true, Chris, and it's funny because everyone was, like, really surprised this summer when the second one really underperformed. Well, I don't even know. Could you call the second one a bomb? I really don't know, but, you know.
It's not a bomb, but it's definitely underperformed.
And people were surprised by that. Yeah, that's why people – because everyone hated the first one. The fan – they only noticed that people went to go see the first one. They didn't really pay attention to the reaction walking out. So they just like, oh, we'll do it again. It'll be huge. I mean, you told me this, and I heard other people say, like, man, fuck that movie. That movie was terrible. So when they did the second one, there was a lot less of a intrigue to see the characters return. It was like, oh, it's going to be more bullshit.
It was awful. And the thing that really infuriated me about that movie is that the show is actually really good. It's really well written, and that movie turned those characters into these
bitches.
Shrew bitch women. Yeah, can I say bitch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Say whatever.
It turned them into the characters that critics were saying all along about the TV show.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It gave them ammunition to go after now because they always felt that way. So, like, oh, well, that justified it now. Mm-hmm. You know?
That's not what the show was about, and that really disappointed me.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
I guess I just admitted I watched the show.
I mean, it was funny because Chris Noth was going around. He just not too long ago was doing press saying, like, you people killed the franchise. It was you people. It's like,
no, it was you people.
It's like, yeah. He's like, okay, dude, shut up. Like, I don't like you anyway. I've never liked Chris Noth. I heard about his Law & Order little stunts, and it's like, no, not a fan. He always kind of came off like a guy with a prima donna attitude and saying, like, it's the press's fault. Like, you made those really bad movies, dude. Like, come on. Like, if you made a good movie, you'd be doing part 3. Don't lie. Come on, dude. He's just pissed his big payday is over with. So, God damn it, I have to be on The Good Wife now. I hear it's a good show, though.
My mom loves that show.
Just saying.
So right here.
Okay, last item for the week. Mr. G brought this up. It looks like there's been a lot of talk about this for, God, it might have been like a year? But Blockbuster has apparently filed for bankruptcy. So the end is nigh for the video store chains, which, you know, they're all gone in my area. We had a lot
just
of...
Just to clarify, because my dad is a lawyer, I'll explain exactly what it is.
Thank you.
It's a Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. So it's not exactly just so people are clear in case they didn't actually read it and they just – well, no, because – no, I wouldn't blame them. Some people will just read it on the notes because some news sites obviously are just saying, "Bunk Blockbuster bankrupt, Blockbuster files for bankruptcy, the end," etc., etc. It's not. No, they filed for bankruptcy protection. Basically, they've sort of decreased their debt from $1 billion to about $100 million. Which, that'd be a good day if I had that much money. I could say, I'm only $100 million in debt, not instead of a billion. And there's apparently, I believe the Iraqi information minister is working for them because I got this from Digital Bits, and a representative from Blockbuster contacted them on the day it was broke out and said all their store locations will continue to remain open for the time being. Blockbuster is secure. Mission accomplished, etc., etc. So just to clarify, that's what it is. It's
big logo.
Phil is right. I think the confusion is that this type of bankruptcy is a reorganization. A lot of companies do that. The kind of bankruptcy where everything shuts down is known as Chapter 7 bankruptcy. That's full-blown liquidation. We're, you know, closing all the stores, burn it all down. So,
who says you don't learn anything on this show?
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right now, the NBC logo just flew by. Dun dun.
Yeah. I'm not. I wasn't laughing at you, Phil. I was just laughing at Christina's comment. It's time for sales.
Well, if you want 15 copies of 8mm 2, by all means. I guess. They never had any good stuff.
Well, they can say this all they want, though, but how many of these stores are still going to stay open, though? I mean, they can, you know.
Yeah. And it's an interesting story.
Yeah, Hollywood Studios gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just saying, the Hollywood videos here, they're all gone. I think the last one closed here maybe a month or two ago, and they liquidated everything. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Video stores, there's really no point and purpose for them. I remember when I used to go into Blockbuster every week with my dad. We had the little Blockbuster card, and he'd go in there and he'd say, pick something to watch this weekend. And now it's Netflix all the way. Nobody goes in there anymore. Yep.
Get on your cell phone.
Yeah, Netflix is like for $8 a month. I mean, how are you going to beat that? You don't have
to rent one DVD at a time on top of that. So.
Yeah. I got three at a time, so, I mean, I got the more reasonable, conserved.
Yeah, everyone gets three at a time. Only crazy people get the six at a time.
I had four at a time at one point, but I kind of – that was like for an extra – like for $20 a month, I kind of decided to tighten my belt a little bit and go back to three. I think for Netflix. There's one that's like eight at a time, I believe.
Oh, my God.
I think
we
there
don't
is.
Do have any restrictions on what we want? Is this movies? Or I'm not really sure. Are you talking downloads? Movies.
We're talking about DVDs you would get in your mail. Like, you could get – they have one system, and someone correct me on the top backs if I'm wrong here, but it's like you could get – the most you can get is an 8 DVD at a time plan at Netflix.
Oh, okay, because here I'm just doing streaming, so that's on the
okay. Image. Well, I mean, yeah, we can do. I mean, I can do streaming also, but I don't really do that often because it always slows up and shit and just. Eh.
Oh, it's working great. Maybe because there's not enough people on it yet. Yeah.
That's the other thing.
I just want to mention one quick thing from an English perspective, because we don't really, obviously, like I say, we don't have Netflix the way that you. We might have it. I really haven't looked into it, but we certainly don't have it to the extent that you guys have it. And we don't. Blockbuster is not really the place in our country to buy DVDs. It's a rental place. But I really, apart from my mum, I don't know anybody who uses it. But our main and now only store in the UK to really a physical store to buy DVDs is HMV. Yes, thank you very much. I don't know if you guys have HMV over there. But this week it was announced over here that HMV, the HMV group, have had a massive decline in sales over the last couple of months, and they're in a huge amount of trouble. And I was stunned about it because there's no competition. The recession killed off all of our other stores. All of them. Absolutely all of them. All that's left is HMV. Apart from that, you're just buying everything off Play.com.
What are they attributing that
People start spending money, I guess.
No. They have absolutely no idea. Well, I'll say as a customer of theirs, they have a point scheme, of course, an incentive scheme. Their incentive scheme is absolute bollocks. It makes no sense. It's a points card, and you save up points with your pay. The only thing you can use these points for is absolutely bullshit things that you'd never want to buy, like Superman mugs and shit. It's rubbish. So that's one thing. If you don't have,
you know, Phil, you say that, and I see you drinking from it right now.
No, I have a Homer Simpson one.
Homer Simpson. There you go.
So then, Phil, what do your friends? Where do they get their stuff from? Their DVDs and that. What are they saying to you?
Well, I don't have any friends, Lou. I have imaginary friends. Thank you. That's what I was waiting
for. It's like a beautiful line. You have Paul Bettany. Paul Bettany and some little girl are always at Phil's house. It's like, my friend's right here. What?
And is that true for you?
Nothing like the way they show it in Skins? You got to be kidding me. Yeah. Oh, hell.
And what about you, Phil? You're not going to HMV anymore either?
No, sir, I am. I am. This is the thing. Loyal I am a loyal customer. I go in and it's a good store. It's still a very good store. They most of the time they have their shit together. They just have a bad incentive scheme. Prices are Yeah. I guess their prices can't really compete to Amazon, but I mean Amazon, that's just the way Amazon works. They slash their prices so much.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So what about rentals?
I have no interest in. Mum rents DVDs. Oh. I don't, because I just find it absurd. I mean, for the last decade and a half, I found the price of rentals so absurd that there's no point actually renting something if I'm vaguely interested in seeing it.
Particularly if it's a game. I remember when I would try to rent a game at Blockbuster, it was...
Is that because the rental price is so close to the purchase price?
Yes, to me or him.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's also... the fact is, and this is getting back to something we were talking about weeks ago when we were talking about the whole home media debate thing, Blockbuster sucks. It's a shitty store. Maybe I'm probably preaching to the choir here, but when I used to go into Blockbuster, this is back in the 90s, even the late 90s, I remember it was a place that had genres. You could actually find older movies from like the 80s and stuff, movies I hadn't seen. And it's not that way anymore. It's basically one huge shelf of white cases. Current releases, none of which can stand out on the shelf, and of course some of that has to do with the fact that all covers are bullshit these days and nothing jumps out of you. But apart from that, they don't do a good job of presenting movies to me. I just don't understand why it's taken this long, quite honestly.
Slow but steady. I mean,
anytime, guys.
Are your friends still going to Blockbusters too? Or, I mean, not HMV? What about your friends? Where are they getting their movies from?
Okay, Lou, slow down, please.
Your co-workers.
I'm on the bench here. my friends don't really buy movies. They buy games. The game industry is still as strong as it ever was.
I just want to chime in for a minute. I had heard that it's very expensive to buy games over in the UK. Over here, it's maybe $50, $60, and I hear it's much higher, obviously with the currency change, but it's far higher in the UK to buy games. Could be upwards to like $80 American, I think. That's what
probably you're right. You are probably right, sir. But to be honest, that's been the norm for so long that we've just kind of accepted it. And that's something that's never going to change, unfortunately. Thank God there's still the second-hand market, and that's really where people, unless it is a big game like that racing game that came out.
Yeah, but having games always been expensive. I remember like when I was a kid, they had the Nintendo, the 8-bit NES Nintendo. That cost you $50. Nowadays you like a Wii game or a PS3 and it's about $50. So
I remember, when I bought a Nintendo game, it was an event. It was like, holy shit, my dad must have got a bonus this week, because otherwise I wouldn't be getting able to get this game. They were so expensive.
That's kind of the genius of the old Nintendo system, though, was your parents could play it. Like, they can understand it. That's not to make fun of our parents, but Mario Brothers is a very straightforward game. It came with Duck Hunt. You don't really get that nowadays. Do any systems have simple yet intriguing games that everyone can play?
The Wii.
Do you think older people can understand the Wii, though? I mean, the whole...
Definitely.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what I'm asking. I don't know.
Absolutely, yeah.
Trust me. I've seen footage of older people. They have the Wii, like, in nursing homes, and the old people have, like, bowling leagues, and they play,
I'm sorry,
I played Wii Monopoly against some older people. Got my ass whooped. Don't underestimate them, please.
They had it in with Uncle Moneybags. That's what happened, sir.
It's just really interesting to talk about this, given what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, and I believe it was Ed that started the ball rolling on this, that eventually, sooner than we think probably, physical stores are no longer going to exist. We're going to have to get everything on the internet. It's a damn shame. Not because of the price, because the price has always been cheaper on the internet, but because I just like going into a store, physically looking at a shelf, browsing, and finding a good selection there.
Nobody wants to just do everything from home. Everyone says that, like, oh, you can do it from home, and that sounds, you think that's a great idea, but it's not really, man. You don't want to just be Jabba the Hutt and sit there with your little laughing Muppet and order shit on your laptop. That's what you turn into.
Most people, when they want to watch a movie, if they're just a casual movie fan, they just want to be able to turn on the TV, go to some menu and, okay, here's the latest action movie, bang. They're happy, but, like, you know, for people like us that like movies, it's kind of like going to the library or something. We want to look at a, you know, like, we want to see, like, all these movies that go back through the ages. But for the average Joe, they don't give a crap about that. They want to go, they want the top 25 movies that are current right now.
Sir, you might have just named the only place where video stores still exist anymore. The library. Never thought of that, actually.
And that was a joke. It used to be, it's like, I go to the library to rent some movies.
Exactly, on The Simpsons. Yeah. Quit it. Quit it. Y'all get my coat. I'm going to go rent some movies from the library.
Because, Phil, I totally agree with you. Like, video stores, when they first started, like, they carried a huge back catalog. But because of, you know, diminishing revenues and that, they basically dropped all that and sold that stuff, like, and put it in the bargain bins, and they were only stocking what's current, like the top, you know, top 25 current movies that are popular, and then the rest of the stuff they got rid of.
Shall I tell you a story, Lou? Is it it's story Please. Time again. I'm going to tell you the exact moment where
round,
the penny
Phil.
Dropped for me. Gather round, and I shall tell you a mighty tale.
With a big book.
The very moment where the penny dropped for me. I was at a second-hand store or a mart or something, and they had old VHS tapes, big box VHS tapes, which were really, really wicked. My mum grabbed a couple. She loves horror movies. She grabbed Hellraiser 3. Now, I'm a big fan of the original Hellraiser. I don't really like horror films, but it's one of my favorite horror films. I'd never seen Hellraiser 3. I watched it. It was all right. It wasn't great, and it's not aged well at all. But I immediately saw it, and I thought, do you know what? What? I've seen 3. I've seen 1. I've got to see 2. Now, I just want to pre-emphasize this. I knew nothing about Hellraiser 2 and how shit it was at the time. But still, I thought at the time, I've got to see Hellraiser 2. It's got to be at the video store. Well, this is a popular horror franchise, right? They've got a horror section, last time I recall. Let's go to Blockbuster. And I said this to Mum, and she looked at me kind of wearily and said, I don't know. I said, well, come on, let's go along. And I looked, and I looked, and I looked. I don't even think there was a horror section. And if there was, we're talking about the recent ones. Basically, 50 copies of Blair Witch. This was 99, I think. And I even went to the counter, and the lady there, I think she knew what Hellraiser was, but at the same time, she had that look of, your words are strange and alien to me. So I really don't know. And that's when the penny dropped, and I just thought, the culture is moving away from people who love movies. I honestly think that's the case. And it's unforgivable. We're talking 10, 15 years ago that a rental place cannot be considered a place for movie lovers to go. And I think that is the case. And this is a long time coming. And frankly, as far as I'm concerned, I can't speak for Blockbuster in any other country in the world. But in the UK, let it burn. I'll blow it up myself. Oh. Sorry, I just honestly, it's let it go.
Someone is angry. No, I feel you, buddy. I do. Maybe it's for the best.
No more than usual, sir. No more than usual.
Exactly. Maybe it's for the best, man. I hate to say that, but I mean, damn. It's, you know, it's an era that we'll always remember fondly, and you know, I remember back when you get to pick through videos. I mean, the idea that you could, you know, when we were kids, the idea of, like, getting the movie, like, you know, there were a couple of times we were let down. Like, we wanted to see a certain movie, it wasn't in, so we got something else and wound up loving it. I mean, that's not, people don't have that problem anymore of the instant access to everything. I mean, that just doesn't exist anymore.
No.
So, Back me up here. Thank you.
Viva the internet.
Yeah, well, like, I'm still, like, because Netflix is new here, but I've been, I just assumed that you guys were using it in the streaming mode. I don't order DVDs so far. I've just been streaming everything, so I don't even know if they have an option for ordering DVDs, but.
Get out, really?
Yeah.
For what?
Like, I'm just streaming stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
That was their original service.
Yes, streaming, I know it was, but I've just figured they'd move to streaming at this point.
They're not shipping DVDs in Canada. I read that.
Not yet. I mean, give it some time. They will. Okay. And Phil, I mean, you'll eventually get something similar to that in the UK. I'm just surprised you haven't.
I'm a little surprised. Yeah, I agree with Jamie on this. The fact that there's been no competing service in the UK that would do something like this. There's not even like the DVD rental machines. Nothing like
Red
that.
Box. Yeah.
Yeah, like a Red Box.
TARDIS.
Yeah, I mean, it's just another thing I'll say about Amazon, and it sounds like I'm really pimping them here, but if I order something from Amazon UK, chances are it's there the next day or the day after that, and this is buying something. It's you know, it's a really quick service, and that's why I've been a loyal customer of theirs for a long time.
Same
now.
Here.
It's I don't understand logistically what the problem is over here with that system. It's incredibly simple, and that's why it is successful. No, I don't get it at all. In answer to Lou's earlier question, yeah, my friends, for the majority of them, they buy games, and they're really excited about games as soon as they come out, and they'll buy those. But yeah, they are rental people, and even if they're renting something, they're renting something because they're all, you know, it's a group of friends, you know, they're having a good time, right. And they'll call me and they'll say, "Hey, Phil, we've rented Harry Brown," and I'll say, "Yeah, I'm sure you have. I'm going to stay here. Thank you very much." Fucking Harry hate that. Oh, everyone.
He
else
stays home and watches Octopussy instead.
Yeah,
not too bad.
That is not too bad. No, you get some Louis Jourdan in there, some Maud Adams. Nothing wrong with that, sir. So I guess that'll wrap up this week's show. Good, you know?
Good.
It kind of turned into a debate. Yeah, I don't know if a debate, but something like that. We're obsessed with home videos, you can tell. It's like, what, our third discussion about that, I think. But
I think.
But I've enjoyed it. So, anyway, folks, thank you for listening. We will see you next week at the movies. Same time, same place as always. Thanks for listening. Take it easy, guys. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Have a good one.